Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 73, Give Up Your Way While on the Way. Today is Friday, November 7th, 2008. Thank you for joining us today. Today's message was originally recorded on March 10th, 1985. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikrokodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue North in Minneapolis. If you need food and live in Minnesota and are living in a household of two or more, or a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m., and you can register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. And join our community. At the top of the homepage are interactive links to the blog, where you can leave a comment, Flickr to share your photos, the podcast, new episodes Fridays, shop at Pastor Paul's Club, Twitter, follow me, follow you, and YouTube, where you can share your videos. You can also call the comment line at 1-715-808-0318 and leave a comment, a question, a suggestion, or even a testimony. You will find links to the scriptures in today's message at Pastor Paul's blog in the show notes. Be sure to join us next Friday for episode 74, The Disciplined Doers. Thanks for joining us. God bless you and have a great week.
I might not have this title completely right, but that's all right. Leave it the same as it is. You must give up all your ways while on the way. You must give up all your ways while on the way. All of them. Sometimes that's awful hard to do because we're prideful, we're rebellion. Comes in, and we think, well, you know, I've always been a good person. Last Sunday we said, give God all you know and all you don't know. There's a lot of things you'll find out you haven't given God as you go along. And so then in giving all, now we can ask for all. Psalm 119, 168th verse says, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. I thought, boy, that's a good reason to give and to obey God. Because you see, he knows and he sees all of our ways. Now, I'm sure we all got a few ways we don't want anybody to know about. Is that right? Then Psalm 139, verse 3, thou compass my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. My path, the way I go, and even when I'm in bed, my running and my resting are alike within the circle of thine observation. You see it all. You know what I'm thinking about while I'm laying there in that bed. And you know all about me whilst I'm going down the road. You have surrounded me. You ever feel like you're surrounded? That's because you're surrounded by God. Do you ever feel like it's all closed in on you and everything is closing in? God is closing in and He is going to get you. Now, I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about all those things that you saw a lot of times, people listening to the radio or tape, they hate that. Oh, I'd go to the church, but they're hypocrites. And it's full of hypocrites, they say. No, I says, it's not quite full yet. You're not there. Everybody's a hypocrite, some way or another. This is for the radio ministry, and this is for the tape. We'll set them up so they can hear. Thou art compassed my path and my lying down. I can't even go to bed. You're there with me when I go to bed. You know my every thought. You know what I'm thinking about. When I get up and I get on my path, there you are. Then he goes on. And art acquainted with all my ways. You are so familiar with what all that I do. See, you're all made by God. Did you think something else made you? He knows you. Nothing is concealed from you. In Psalm 119 and 29 then, remove me from the way of lying. And this is the way of sin, the way of error and idolatry and folly and self-righteousness and formalism and hypocrisy. But David would not only be kept that from that way, but have it kept from him. Because you know why? He says, if it's not kept from me, I'll go ahead and do it. Lead me not into temptation. Friday we said, I wonder if the parents, if all of their children were to be giving lie detector tests about what kind of a person they were at home, and what you are at home is what you are. When we go out, we're different. We put on a happy face, or we put on our business face, or we put on our we-know-it-all face. But when we are home, that is exactly what we are. Now, they line up all these kids, and they set them down one at a time, and they say, we're going to give you this lie detector test. Is your dad fun to be with? On a count of 1 to 10, is he kind? Is he patient? Is he concerned? And all of a sudden, the machine starts to smoke over this. Pull a plug! We got a liar sitting here. I wonder how we'd all fare if we had our mates, even our mothers and our fathers, take a lie detector test as far as we're concerned on what kind of a person we are in the home. I bet you we'd be changing in a hurry. But anyway, now listen to this very carefully. When you give your all to God and have freedom from yourself, you'll be surprised how little you need. And when this gets built down deep into your spirit, you'll be opened up to receive. See, the receiving is really in the giving. Nothing planted, nothing reaped. Now, you can have a bag of seeds on your side, but you don't plant them, that's going to become a curse to you. Because you're going to be carrying the weight around of all of those seeds that you could have planted. And the Bible's very clear on that. It says, what did you do with your talents? Oh, I had them hanging on my side. I didn't want to do anything. I hid them under my jacket here. I buried them under there. Because you know why? I was afraid of what you might do if I didn't get a harvest back. Because a seed that's not planted is a curse. That's like when I go out, if I don't give the word out, it's like I feel like I'm cursed. I was ministering to a man the other night. I led him to the Lord. And I knew I was to lead this man to the Lord. Now, if I wouldn't have done that and put that word out there, I would have felt, man, I felt cursed. Do you ever feel like that when you know that God's dealing with you to do something, you don't do it? You put it off? The Bible says, whatsoever things ye desire when you pray, believe you have received them, and ye shall have them. Maybe you've got some kind of a prayer request. The Bible says, pray like you already have it. You know what? Did you ever get a car and you thought you had to have that car? Now after you got that car, you didn't want it? And it's the same way if you pray and you believe that you've already received it, you'll be tired of it before you get it and you find out you don't even need it after all. Now, I know that's a little hard for some people to swallow because they want to pray and believe and have the new car and everything. I said pray and believe that you have it already and then give up and go to the next prayer. And then if you believe you really have it all this time, you'll tire of it anyway, and before you get it, you'll be tired of it. You'll say, who needs it? So many times we pray, but we pray amiss. We miss the mark in our prayer. Pray like you already have it. All things are mine, the Bible says. Okay, I already have it. And you really believe that. And then after a while, you're praying for other things, and the thing comes up and say, well, I really don't need that. I'm just going to give it away. But also remember, while I'm preaching here, you can't box God in. I'm not boxing God in. He'll do what he wants to do anyway. But you got to remember this, it's in God's time. There's a lot of changing people have to do. Sometimes they say, pray or do this or do that, or I'm praying for this. And sometimes God wants that person to change. And until that person changes, that prayer will not manifest itself. No, it won't. Those, it says, that wait upon the Lord. Now, you may receive something that you prayed about a good long time ago. You already forgot about it. And someone will come up, don't you remember you prayed for that? I did. Well, here's your prayer request. Yeah, well, that wasn't really what I wanted. Well, I believed I had it. I'm really tired of that anyway. Well, yeah, I mean, had it yet? Yeah, I had it all the time, but it isn't important now. That's what we got to come to. Praying. And believing that we already have it and going on and not sitting there waiting. Did you ever wait for a coffee pot to start to boil? Never happens. Then you leave for a minute and it burns and overflows. But we're all going to have to come to the final issue sooner or later. You know what that is? Dying to yourself. We all come to that great moment of decision to die and seek. Maybe you're reading a book on faith whilst you're listening to this radio program, or maybe that this tape ministry. Right in the middle of this reading of this faith pamphlet, God says, drop dead and seek. Maybe you're listening to this tape and a voice comes and says, die and seek. Maybe you're discussing faith with someone, and you know that God is dealing with you, and God says, die and seek, and stop talking about things, and die and seek me. Seek ye first the kingdom. So many times we come to the door, but we don't have the key. Maybe you're in the middle of a mad, and a voice comes, God's voice that says, die and seek. Maybe you're in the middle of lust thoughts and God says, die and seek. Maybe you're contemplating suicide. God says, die and seek. Maybe you're listening to the devil's lies and the voice comes and says, die and seek. Then the inner voice will come and it will say, now is the time to find. Seek and ye shall find. If you keep on seeking for the answer, you're going to find the answer, but it'll always line up with the Word of God. But Lord, I don't want to seek you right now. Can you wait a minute until after I read this book on faith? I'm reading the Word, and see, that is rebellion. Even when you're reading your Bible, and God says, lay the Bible down now. And I want you to do something. I want you to take out that which you've read And I want you to actually do something with it. Die and seek. And when you seek me, you will find me. And you won't find him in a lot of places. You'll find him where there's poverty, and you'll find him in the jails. Where were you when I was a sick and in a prison? Where were you when I was a widowed? Where were you when there was a need? Well, Lord, I'll seek you after you understand me a little bit better. After I make a decision for my life, then I'm going to seek you. But I haven't made up my mind yet. Okay? Then you are going to be miserable. Not only in your mind, but your body is going to start to malfunction if God is after you. No, I'll seek you right after this radio program. God's telling you to go somewhere and to forgive somebody right now and to just get off your prideful high horse. And God will answer and he'll say, no. Now is the time to seek me while I yet may be found. Stop using all of these religious things. Well, after I read this book, after I get the answer to my last prayer that I've given you, after you understand me a little bit better, after I've made a decision for my life, no, now, even while you're sitting right here today, now God wants to deal with you. Don't put it off. Give your all to God right now. Well, I've had some bad experiences in some churches. I don't care. God hasn't got nothing to do with a lot of churches anyway. He is dealing with you, and after all, you are the church. You are the mobile temple. You are a church without brick and mortar. Your body, it says, is the temple of the living God. Now, you're responsible for that, not the building and not the organization, but you. Don't put it off. And after all, why don't you take an inventory of what you're giving God? I took an inventory and it says, give your body to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. He accepts it. And I thought, what am I giving to God? I'm miserable. My marriage is falling apart. I'm falling apart. I'm losing my mind. I'm a drunkard. I'm on pills. I have money in banks. I don't know where it is, where I put it. I got money in books. I don't know where I hid it. I'm going crazy. And I thought, well, what am I giving up? A great big garbage can. Thank you, Lord, take it. A nervous, quivering, tight-lipped, fearful, perverted person. I was giving God. God says, I want it. No one else did. Think about what you're giving up and think about what you'll gain. Well, I can't do that because, see, I got my friends. Well, where are your friends? You didn't do your friends any good over there. I didn't do my friends any good by sitting in the bar with them. Move over. There's room in the garbage can for us all. What a bouquet that was. Everybody in the same garbage can, and they all, you know, collectively have the same stink. Oh, you're not talking about me, see, because the person says it's listening to this radio tape. Because, see, I've always been a good person. I come from good people. Well, they have the same problem that you have. Self. A warning here, don't expect to be united. Don't expect to be filled and released the exact same way someone else is. There are no two people that are exactly alike. No two experiences are ever the very, very same. Don't seek the experience of another. Seek Jesus Christ for the experience. Jesus is the experience. How many are hearing this today? Oh, God. God isn't going to waste time stirring up our emotions. He'll say, I want to give you my emotions. To seek the kingdom first, and you'll need Jesus Christ's emotions to seek the kingdom of God first. A change in your desires and a change in your motives. How many know a lot of times God deals with our motives? Why are you doing this? Why are you in church? Why are you preaching? Well, people tell me all the time, don't get emotional. But let me tell you, when you receive Jesus Christ's emotions, you're going to show it. Our emotions, I believe, are a byproduct of what's happening on the inside. And when my emotions are oriented towards God, God's emotions, Jesus' emotions, instead of self-emotions. What are self-emotions? Self-emotions, somebody, they're down. You ever get caught up in your emotions? You're down. You don't care about nothing. I mean, you just, huh? And you know what? The Bible calls that a walking death. And a person like that has always got to be next to somebody that's walking with God. Why? They are dead. They need to be around life, whether they admit it or not. When I'm not around Christians and I can't fellowship, man, I get drained. When you go all over and you're ministering like I do all over, and I start in the morning and I work my way down to this building, you can get drained if you're not seeking ye first the kingdom of God before you get up out of that rack. You better pray, God, fill me with your grace and your love, because I just naturally don't have none on my own. I don't even want to get out of this bed. Give me the grace to get up. But you see, when our emotions are Jesus' emotions, instead of these self-emotions, emotions become redemptive. And our emotions become living and powerful, and Lazarus, come forth, and those kind of emotions. Rise up, take your bed, and go. Stretch forth your hand and be healed. Those kind of emotions, those kind of excitements. Go tell the priest that you've been healed. Oh, or she sleeps only. Or hush, wind, be still. Or leave the 90 and 9 and go after them. And all these words are on the inside. Go to the pool and wash. Receive your sight. Those types of things, those types of emotions are inside. Go on down for the seventh time. And here was this proud man, Naaman, had to go down seven times in the muddy old Jordan to prove that God was God. Tell those, and you remember Gideon, tell those that are afraid to go home. I remember some time back, I ministered right from this very area. It was about a year after we'd come down to the north side, and I says, all you people that are afraid, go home. Boy, there was a mass exodus, let me tell you. Talk about thundering hooves of the west, and they were gone. How many are hearing this? But those are the words of Jesus. Either come on and do the Lord's work or go home. See, we all have emotions, but we don't depend on them. We depend on Him. How many have found out that you depend on yourself and your emotions? Oh, we can get so nervous when things don't work out our way. And we rant and we rave and we talk. What good do they do you? What good do living in your own emotions do you? You get all upset. You upset everybody else. And in the end, you find out that you had to depend on the Lord anyway. He's the one that's already going to do it for you. But on the same token here, don't try to do away with your emotions. Your soul may dance for joy and blow a trumpet, because when such a great, powerful, make me free Jesus comes to rule in your hearts. Brother, I can get emotional because now I'm on the way. You know what? After we ranted and raved and so on like that, isn't it so easy for us to lift up holy hands unto the Lord and say, oh God, I just love you, you did it. But you know something? We fall right back into the same thing again, and life goes on after that prayer. After a prayer is answered, we praise the Lord. Oh, God, thank you. You answered that prayer. Now I'm back on the way. And you see the same people. Not a week away, coming back, their faces are dragging, and what now? And it'll be the same thing. Why? They are living in their own emotions. They are not emotionally stable. They need to have the emotions of Jesus. And they have to say, God, if you've done it before, you'll do it again. But it's according to your time plan. Now, how many are hearing this? Now, maybe you're up today. How many are up today? I'm up today. Okay, remember this uptime. Remember the times before. You know, if you're down, remember the times when you were up and Jesus answered your prayers because you didn't compromise. You know, compromise is when someone says, well, do this and this and so and so and so, and then I'll like you. That is the devil. Don't you listen. Then we have those that have a fear, and they have a fear of not having emotion. Boy, some say, I sure wish I could be free in the Lord and praise God like so-and-so. I say, hey, keep your eyes fixed on the author and finisher of your faith and our faith, because if you look in, you will be discouraged. Now, you look in on yourself, you're going to get discouraged. Aren't you? And if you look around, you'll be distracted. And by the way, also discouraged. Now you got double trouble. But if you look at Christ, and I'm not talking about looking at the building. So many times people, they just like to argue about if God is God. My God, can't you look outside and see God is God? All the trees and birds and beasts, and your being is God? Don't you believe in God? Even the atheist is a believer. You know why? He doesn't believe in anything, and that takes a big believer. I don't believe in anything. Oh, boy, you're a believer, though. To believe in nothing has got to tell me that you're a great believer. That's really hard. But keep your eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of your faith. Sometimes you have to sail by dead reckoning. That means when there's clouds are over and there's no stars out there and you just go by dead reckoning. Means that you have to go by obedience without stars in the sky to follow. But you act in faith and you keep affirming in your heart, I have paid the price. I have given my all to God, all I know and all I don't know. And then you start to talk faith to God and faith to yourself. You have to talk to yourself sometimes. Now the world calls that crazy. But I talk to myself because a lot of times there's no one around to encourage you. That's a funny thing. When you're preaching, people don't think you need encouragement. Well, you got it made. You know, you're with God all the time. And so on like that. Did you ever try to be with God for 24 hours a day and he's dealing with you every minute of it? Hey. So sometimes you have to encourage yourself, folks, and speak faith to yourself. You can do it. Come on, guy. Get up out of the bed. You're going to be all right. Wash your face. Huh? But what are you speaking to yourself? Oh, boy. God will answer and say, my grace is sufficient unto thee. So many times I've said, God, there's no encouragement anywhere. Will you encourage me? And I say, no answer comes. So I start to speak faith. And as soon as I start to, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you have to speak faith to yourself. God, I know you're out there. I know you're around me. I know you're in me. Oh, you're somewhere. You're hiding. But where? I don't care. I know you're there and you're hearing me. Oh, and then he'll start speaking to you. Now, that's a fact. That if you start speaking to the Lord and believing that he is, he'll speak back to you. And he says, I will cover your every need and more. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, victory then is what? A gift. Did you have a victory? It was a gift. God gave you the victory. Empty your hands. Right now today, empty your hands and take the gift. So many times our hands are full of ourselves. You ever have your hands full of you? Huh? You can't accept a gift if you're your hands are full of you. Huh? Full of you? How about me? Get your mind off yourself. Get your mind on the things of God. Start helping other people, and then God will help you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Stop holding on to everything you own. Stop worrying about everything you own. I knew a guy that had maybe $15,000, and he was holding on to this $15,000, and he was so fearful. I says, well, why are you holding on to it? You've already lost it. You don't own it. It owns you. You might as well give it away because it owns you. Every dollar he was, well, if I do this, I won't have to dip into that. And he was so worried about it. Oh, God. You have to start to talk faith to people. And, you know, you ever get a phone call and you're feeling down yourself? Ring, and you answer the phone, you start ministering, and actually you're ministering to the person, but you're ministering to yourself. And you get done with the phone call, and you have to say, thank you very much. You know why? You were speaking faith, and when you gave out those words of faith and those words of encouragement, you encourage yourself. And it's the same way when you give out words of discouragement. Oh, nothing's going to work. Why me, God? Why me? Why always me? Oh, look at that big fat woman out there with all of that little dog on the chain. She's got everything. And look at me. God is looking at you. And all of a sudden, Jesus gets in the car with this rich woman and drives away. Makes better company. But you have to talk faith to others. When you go down on the hobo run and you talk faith to the other guys down there, doesn't it give you faith? And when they receive the word, doesn't that give you, when you give away the word, then don't you receive it? See, the receiving is in the giving. Give your life to gain it. And there was two guys out there, and man, they were punching Judy outside of the wham, wham. And so I went outside and I said, man, can't you see this guy is disabled? Just stop hitting on him. Well, he hit me. I said, well, you know, enough's enough. All right, you're a Reverend, so I'll stop. I went back in the bus. He's back out there again. Wham, wham. I thought, I'm a Reverend, but I'm going to put a stop to this. See? So I spoke a word of faith to him. Lay off. The name of Jesus, stop hitting him now. Well, that was all it took. Okay. How many are hearing this message today? Now, I'm going to preach this like it's my last message. You know why? Because I might drop dead before I get done with it, and I want to get as much in as I can. How many are hearing the word today? I'm sure you're all acquainted with this. You're looking at it enough. It's a mirror. Make suggestions in this mirror to yourself, and you may change your suggestions. I want. Look how stupid you look. And you know what he did to me or she did to me? No. God, huh? If you actually took the time to talk to yourself in the mirror, or if we could have a rerun movie on the way that we act, and all this claiming junk. And I claim, in the name of Jesus, I claim. One time a woman come up and she gave my whole congregation, she says, write down everything you want Pastor Paul to be. And hang it on your box, and by faith he'll be that. And I thought, I don't know, no way I want to be that, hanging on an icebox. But at the time, you know, they were into this hyper-faith thing, so I couldn't say anything, see, because everybody just sliding on. They all hung it on their icebox until it curled up. But, you know, here's another thing you can do. You can write all your wants on there and all your mads on there, and then you have to look through them. I hate so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. Huh? Why are you doing this to me? But do you know while you're looking in the mirror, you can see somebody else's need? That's why people turn away. If we had a mirror up and we turn our back on poverty, when we turn our back on people that need help, huh? It's too bad we don't have a mirror so we could see the people back there suffering. Then you wouldn't ask for all them things. Oh, God, you know, all we have is roast beef and a half a ham, and I'm so sick of it, Lord. And you're looking back at Africa back there, and they have nothing to eat, and they're all laying down. Now, you don't look so good in that mirror, do you? Huh? Do you? Lord, just give me enough for one more jug. And there's people dying all over the world. I venture to say, if we had a mirror up in front of us and we were looking a little bit back on the things we've turned our back on, we'd change our mind just a little bit. Say amen, somebody. Anybody here want to look in this mirror and make a few complaints to the Lord? Huh? No, I didn't think so. Now, I'm going to turn this around because I don't want you folks to scare yourself to death. Come on. But you see, all those eyes that are there will finally have you make the confession. It's no longer I that live, but Christ in me, and you'll be glad to get rid of that image too. Because that will reveal a laziness in yourself, a dissatisfied self, a selfishness at the highest degree, bitterness, competition, and in short, it will reveal you. How many hearing this message today? I started to think about the apple. We're talking about Adam and Eve. I started to think about the apple. You know what? Now settle down. Lock all the doors and windows. No one will leave after these two go. Can you hear this? If Adam would have turned the apple around and seen his own reflection in it, it would have been different. He would have seen in the roundness of this apple a sort of a distorted face, distorted with self and with greed and with disobedience and lust and unbelief and untrust. But you see what Adam did? He bit into the same bite mark that she had, taking side, her side against God. He should have spoken faith to Eve, and then he would have been speaking faith to himself. He should have said, no, Eve, lay that apple down. Are you hearing this, boys? I think husbands need to speak faith to your wives. And I think we need to speak faith to others. And don't compromise. Wives, you can speak faith to your husbands. When they're going astray, you have a word of faith, not a word of compromise. And you speak faith to one another. Now, we first got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and came back here to Minneapolis. And I was a lush. And Jan says, let's go over and tell our friends about our experience. I says, no, I'm not going. I'm not going because I'll stumble and I'll fall and I'll get drunk. And that was a word of faith. He says, you go ahead and go if you want and tell them about the experience, but I'm not going to tell them about something until it's worked into me. I can't do it. I know myself. So sometimes we have to speak a word of faith to one another. Sometimes we have to tell the truth also, don't we? But you can always tell where you're standing and where you're headed and what your faith is when you're on the way. You know when you're on the way, you got God's thoughts? You know when you're on the way, you got God's ways and God's revelations? It says, commit your ways unto the Lord and He will establish you. You want to be established in your business and established in your home and established in your marriage? Commit your ways unto the Lord and don't use all them excuses about other folks. You're not supposed to have your eyes on someone else, but put your eyes on Jesus. See, the acceptance of the gift by faith drives in the nail. And the confession of faith to others clinches the nail on the other side. Well, here's the hammer, and here's the nail. You really mean what you say? Huh? Do you? Nail it down. Then just to make sure you don't back out on your promise, bend it over. There you go. You aren't going to get out of it so easy. How many are hearing this? Bend it over. Make a commitment and stand by it and clinch it. Don't they say, let's nail this deal down? Well, that guy got nailed. Ooh. And you know when you do that, that will push you forward towards the door of faith. So many times we stand right at the door of faith and we don't open it up. It's there. It's always there. Like that example with the key that we use, the ups and downs and the highs and lows, and God calls you through all those different things that are transmitted into your life by God, proven by God, allowed by God, given by God, all them trials. Why? To help you die. Aren't you miserable but yourself? I'm so glad I'm going out to California with a clean mind and a clean heart. Because you know what? I'm going to have a good time. I'm going out for 1 week to see my mother. And I haven't got no burdens on me. Only thing I have a burden is the burden of the Word of God. I'm going to have to give that out all the way out there, all the way back, and all the way in between. And when I give away the burden of the Lord, He gives it back to me. And I'm going to have a good time. You know why? I'm going to go with Jesus. I'm not going to go with myself. It's the same old self. If you take your miserable self out to California, you'd be miserable out there. Just a change in geography. The same guy sitting out there. Huh? This is the truth. Parents take their kids on these trips and say, okay, kids, we're going on trip. And the kids, you know, kids are pretty smart. And for a while, they light up, you know, and think, oh, yeah, but it won't last. And they get about 4 miles down the road. You shut up. You shut up. Huh? Oh, if people only knew how you really are. We used to say that to each other all the time, didn't we? And, you know, we talked so loud, everybody knew what we really were. Is that right? Well, you can laugh a little bit in church. It won't kill you. There's so much sadness all around. My God, crack your face. Sometimes we try to act so dignified, we just don't want to smile or laugh or have a good time. Well, I'm dignified. I'm religious. Yeah, well, you stink also. It's like I said, I ain't got a whole lot of time to minister, so I'm not going to mince it with a whole lot of long words. But you see, we can be clean through the Word. And John 15:3 says, Jesus says, already ye are clean because of the Word, which I have spoken unto you. And I wondered about that some years back. I read that. The Word, which one? And so I started looking through the Bible. The Word which I spoke unto you. So there must be a special word in here for me. Why didn't you say words? It would have been easier then. Because I found out later that it's His words gathered together and were made one in the furnace of truth. It's all the words that you've heard from Jesus that have to go through the fire to see if I say, I have love. Okay, let's prove it. And you meet every unlovable boob that there is. I have peace. And boy, you'll have people coming with sticks at you. Ee, ee, ooh, ee. Huh? That's where we have to meet God, in the furnace of afflictions. And the truth must meet God in the furnace. So it's not just words, but the Word. You know, melted down, molded in. The Word, not out of context, not watered down, not pet scriptures. So many times, you know, I hear preachers, they have pet scriptures, and you can turn them on every morning, they got the same pet scripture. But it's the whole Word of God that has to be put into you, that has to go through the trial of afflictions and the trials and so on and so on and so on, and go through that fire, and there you're going to meet Jesus right in the middle, and it's going to be the complete Word. It's going to be the fashioning of you through suffering. Jesus came and says in the Bible, and the Word became flesh, and he taught his disciple for 3 years. The words became the Word in them also. So much like Jesus were they that when the fire fell up in that upper room, they were whipped and beaten. They were loved and hated, accepted and rejected, spit on, hugged and kicked, flowers at their feet and rocks at their heads, full and hungry, plenty and with nothing, and crying and laughing. Sounds like they're kind of mixed up, but they were happy in whatsoever state that they were in. How many are hearing this? When they came to Jesus, they were cluttered and they were junky. Let me know when you come to Jesus, you're cluttered and junky. Wrong ideas about God. And he cleans away our gods. First thing he cleaned away in my life was my love of money and my love of my yard. Next to my money was my yard. Man, I could spot a dandelion a block away. It was a god. And it cleans away all our gods, people. I had certain people that were gods and things. And I found out that Jesus never asked me to do anything that he wouldn't go through me with. Are you hearing this? He'd go through the whole thing with me. Then he started to clean out my ideas about the kingdom of God. And then he gave me a further cleansing in my family. And I had to go to my family and I said, listen, I want to tell you something about me. I've been a total failure, period. A failure. Now, who can argue with you? Here I am, zero. You got anything to add to that? Here I am, nothing. Nothing. That's what you'd call going for mercy. Now, hey, what I'm giving you here today might be a little bit harder to receive because there's still some goodness in me. I am a good person. That the spirit still all might be coming off the radio tape, but there's always that spirit around, isn't there? I've always been a good person. My mother and my father, just ask anybody, we have a real sweet disposition. We always love people. And you can just tell, you know, the person is a religious spirit. And, oh, God, give it up. You're zero. And God can start building on that. You can't build your house on your own foundation. The cornerstone has to be Jesus. That means you have to take down all the brick, even the last two courses of brick. All of the brick. And build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Zero. Here I am, Lord. And then God starts to add. Till Jesus cleanses your life. Till our prayer life makes us more Christ-like. How many want to be Christ-like? I do. How many want to hear end-time ministry like you're hearing right now? How many want to accept the cross? How many will say, "Your will be done"? Oh, that's so hard for people to say. Your will be done, God, in my life. Now, do you know that God doesn't bless you with everything you want? Do you give your kids candy every time they want it? Huh? Candy, candy. And they're there, they got licorice all over their mouths and chocolate in their hair. Huh? Nibs hanging out of this ear and a Tootsie Roll over here. And gobs of no chocolate mess. If you hold on to them long enough, they make a mess. Huh? And they got all this, and they ask for candy. Do you give them more candy? But God, if I only had $10,000 or $15,000, I would never ask for any more. Well, you can't even handle that quarter you got. Why should I give you $15,000? You can't even handle a quarter. You hang on to it. You love it. I don't want much. Okay, I've never asked before, have I? No, because you're too proud. I've never asked before. But I'm asking now, and I'm asking largely. I want the house paid off, I want a brand new car, and I'm going to believe largely. Go ahead and believe as large as you want to. The only time you'll get something, a lot of times I think it comes from the devil. Say amen, somebody. You want all that God can give you, don't you? You know all God can give you is a peace unspeakable. And a joy unspeakable and full of plenty, and you don't have to have a whole lot of junk. Then you got to give your all if you want God's all. How do you do that? Obedience and service and receiving and repenting. Seems like I spend a good portion of my day repenting. Giving and getting and binding and loosing and good times and bad times. Isn't there a song like that? Oh, let the good times roll. Many times I asked God for things. You know what? He protected me. I said, "Oh, God, I've got to have that car." And I'm so glad He never gave me that particular car. You know why? It was junk. "Oh, God, give me a building. I want a building." And I couldn't get the finances. It was a perfect building. It had the pews in it and everything. And it looked like a, you know, you ever buy a car and it says, "Well, these old people had this car. And so it's only been driven. They just drove it to the grocery store and back again." Huh? That's how that church looked. And I thought, wow, everything is so clean. And I went downstairs and I made a point of trying to find some dirt, and I couldn't find any. And I couldn't get the financing for that building. And I came down here, and this building here was total decay. I mean, it was boarded up. It took $4,000 just for painting the inside of it. You know, the inside of the building, $4,000 in paint alone. And I thought, well, thanks a lot for nothing. Great. Huh? How many were here when we first came in this building down here? Oh, man. It was a mess, wasn't it? But that's what I got. But you know what? God can bless a mess. Bless me. Forty years old when I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Proud. I know what I know, what I know, what I know. You know? I could argue with anybody. I could pound my fist on the table. I could bug my eyes out. I could also go home and fall apart. I prayed for a wife, and I got Jan. Beautiful wife. I prayed for success in business and ended up preaching. Oh God, I want to be a success. I want to be like Onassis. I want my name on those ships. Arnopolis. I want to be standing on those ships. Fleets of ships behind me. That's what I wanted. I'm not kidding you one bit. And I used to say, why Onassis? Why not Arnopolis? I'm being honest. I am being honest today. But I want this business and I want to get ahead. And God gave me a church. Let God put a want in your will. And then your want will be His will. Don't put your own wants in there. Say, God, you put your want in my will, and then your will be God's will. And that's really what you need. Isn't our will many times bad news? When I was on the chase and I wanted my will. Okay, I'm being honest. When I was on the chase and I wanted my will, what I end up with? Another miserable person going from bar to bar to bar. That was bad news, wasn't it? And now I wanted my will and I got my alcohol. Where did it lead me? Huh? It's pitiful, isn't it? You guys know what I'm talking about. And the guy told me one time, he says, tie a string around your arm, put it over your shoulder, and pull a glass up to your mouth. My will. It's a curse to have your own way. You cannot run your own life. Give your life to God and gain it. Oh, well, I'm not one of those persons you're talking. I have always been a good person. Hey, God will even take that particular type of stink and shape it up, okay? Ooh, see, we want all the time. And what you think you want many times is not what you need. Well, I want money. And I want things, and I want a boyfriend. So many young people want a boyfriend. And then when they have a boyfriend, they want a different boyfriend. You see it all the time. They get what they thought they wanted in a boyfriend. And after they get that boyfriend, they want another one. They don't need that other boyfriend. They don't need the first one. They can't handle one. How can they handle two? What they really need is the will of God in their life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, you know what they call it. They call it boy crazy. Well, the same thing happens with boys. They get girl crazy. And sometimes guys even get married and then they... Someone at the office starts picking lint off their collar. Oh. Huh? You know what happens? They have their own way, and it ends up miserable. Like I said Friday night, you think you've got a bad night with your wife you have? Get the second one. And so our will many times is bad news for us. Give your all to God so He can give you all that you need. And He'll give you all you need. He'll keep you busy. Oh, money was my enemy. I had the money and it turned out to be my biggest enemy. You guys that just get saved, a girl too soon after you're saved, for some, is not what you need. So many times I see young people that get saved. Well, the first thing they really do is they go out and they buy a guitar. It seems like everybody that gets saved goes out, they're going to be a minstrel, and they buy a guitar. The next thing they do, they serenade a girl with a guitar. So they really weren't seeking the kingdom of God first, they were seeking self yet. I believe in this ministry right here, that we're going to have many a people that are going to prosper. They're going to prosper in the Word of God. They're not going to prosper by the things that they want in their own will for their own life. What did my own will bring to me? Two jobs? Two friends? My mother and my father? One wife and many girlfriends? John Barleycorn? Pills, two cars, a motorcycle, a dune buggy, a big house, no family life, no time, no respect, and no decency. So first he said, Paul, you're going to have to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And while I was seeking ye first the kingdom of God, I got lost in the seek. And from this different vantage point, this mountaintop experience, I saw a different perspective of myself. I did not like it. What was important before to me was now not important at all. He said, Paul, those things are not important anymore. And you know why? Because I want to start adding on to you. I want to start taking away those things that you have. One of the very first things he took away from me was jealousy. How many in here suffer with jealousy? I did. Just jealous. Well, you don't think you're jealous, huh? How many know we all are struck with that envy? Start to envy people. That's like a businessman came to me and he says, and I'm closing. He says, I don't know, I'm so jealous of this guy down the street. He owns a hardware store. I'm just so jealous of him. I mean, you know, he's getting more customers. I said, well, the next time a guy comes in, you don't have something, send it down to him. What? I says, the next time a guy comes in and you don't have the particular item he's looking for, send it down to your enemy. And he tried that. And the next day, people start coming in from the other guy's place. He started sending back. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. And if there's anybody in here today that think they can make it without Jesus Christ, you are sadly mistaken. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and every kingdom has a king. Every kingdom. And the kingdom of God has Jesus Christ as the king. King of kings and Lord of lords. If there's anybody in here today that does not have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and I'm not asking you to join a church, I'm asking you to join the body of Christ. If you don't have Jesus as your personal Savior, and you sit and sat through a message like this, and you cannot receive, there's something wrong. There's something that God wants to deal with. First of all, He wants you to have Him. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? You can have Him today. Maybe your heart is going. Or maybe pride is saying, not now, not in front of all these people. It says, well, if you're not ashamed of me in front of all them people, then I won't be ashamed of you when you come before me. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Maybe you went to a church. Maybe you taught Sunday school. Maybe you were confirmed, but confirmed into what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and there's a king. Confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then you'll be saved. That is the gospel message, and it is simple. It's not complicated. It's not seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added on to you. If you just give everything you have right away and just give up, then you're going to sin ever again. You're going to sin. You're a sinner. When you die and you go to heaven, you know what? You're going to find a lot of sinners up there. They're all they have in heaven is sinners. If you're not a sinner, you won't go to heaven. Jesus came to save sinners. So if you have that spirit, well, I've always been a good person. I took confirmation. I did this. I did that. That's real good. But it's not receiving Christ as your personal Savior. I know that from a personal experience. Is anybody in here that doesn't have Jesus? Anybody? Anybody getting kind of quiet in here? I can almost hear heartbeats. Boom, 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 boom. Someone in here that doesn't have Jesus. Usually, a lot of times, the people that are saved, they start to wonder about themselves. I think I have. No, you have. You have. Anyone? Anybody? Anybody? I don't know everybody here. Are you born again? Are you born again? No. I'm so glad you're here today. Are you born again? Are you all born again there? Praise the Lord, you're here today. Are you born again? Pray with me, guys. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And now, Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit. Give me peace, love, and joy, and a new language to praise your holy name. Praise God, I am saved. And nothing can change that. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. And the Bible says, if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, I'll be saved. You know what? You think that went off pretty easy? It's probably real hard for you, you know what I mean? You went your whole life without doing it, but you did it today, and that's the gospel. Don't let nobody change your mind either. You say, well, are you born again? You say, yes. By your confession. It says that I knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. Jesus says, I knew you. And he says, the word is in your mouth and in your heart, the word that we preach. But if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, they'll be saved. He's already put it in your mouth. And he says, if you'll say it, I'll come into your heart. That's exactly what happened. Never doubt it for a minute. I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Never seen those people again. I moved 2,500 miles away from them almost the very next day and started doing a work for the Lord. Never doubt your salvation. In your ups and downs or whatever, you just go right on. That's the word of faith that we preach. Honey? Yes. Okay. Okay, honey. How about here? Are you born again? Are you born again, honey? You don't know? Let's all pray right here, shall we? Just pray after me and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And now, Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Jesus, I am yours. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. What's your name, honey?
Vicky.
Vicky and?
Daniel.
Daniel. Vicky and Daniel. Anyone else? Anybody? Are you born again?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody? Gotta go fishing. Fishing. Born again?
Sure am.
Okay. Okay. Miss anybody? Oh, my friend. Can I pray with you?
Sure.
Okay. Just pray after me, dear friend. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Can you say, Dear Lord Jesus?
Dear Lord Jesus.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And save me.
And save me.
And baptize me.
And baptize me.
In God's Holy Spirit.
In God's Holy Spirit.
With a new language.
within your language.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
You missed anybody? Are you boys saved? You know for sure if you're saved or not? Want me to pray with you? Huh? You got Jesus in your heart? Don't know. Hey. Pray with me, boys. Say, dear Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I'm a sinner.
Come into my heart.
And save me.
And baptize me
in God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We got these two young guys here. Get them in the youth group right away. And, we'll get you involved down here. This is exciting ministry, you know. It is. We're going to get you involved. Where do you live?
Thank you.